We're going back to Chicago. We're bringing in one of the top national baseball writers for the Chicago Tribune. That's Phil Rogers. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, but MLB.com, as I know you know.
That's correct. Oh, that's
correct. I made that switch after many, many years at the Trib.
Boy, that is correct. It's Sunday morning for me. You're absolutely right. Boy, and one of the top writers for MLB.com. A future Hall of Famer, and that is Phil Rogers. Phil, thank you so much. Hey, but this week, what a week of baseball. First of all, for the Cubs side, the Addison Russell is up now, Chris Bryant. A lot of excitement. Let's start on the Cubs side. A lot of things going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when they had an opportunity to hire Joe Maddon last winter, showing how they valued him was the day they found out he was available, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer were flying from different parts of the country to get to a trailer park in Pensacola to talk to Maddon. I think they just saw that unbelievable timing to be able to bring him in at the point that they're bringing in all these young prospects, and the guy that won with limited resources and young players in Tampa Bay, now to give him the young players and big resources. I think that really has sped up the timetable. And then subsequent to that, the signing of John Lester, really sort of a reunion between Theo Epstein and John Lester from Boston. And now they're opening the floodgates for all these young guys, and they are a blast to watch on a daily basis. And I think what we're seeing is that these are complete players. You know, these aren't hitter only guys. These aren't one tool-y kind of guys. These are guys that are good in the field, run the bases very well. The biggest impression Chris Bryant has made since he's been with the Cubs. You know, he takes great at bats, but he takes every base available to him on the bases, and is just a really, really good athlete, really good baseball player. And, these are really solid guys. Russell's played a little bit out of position as a second baseman, and he's kind of learning on the fly. But Starlin Castro, who's been sort of on the endangered species list as their shortstop, he's really raised his level of play and has played very well. So, they are a team that's going to have a shot to be in the playoffs this year, I think. I don't think this is just a fun team to watch in April and they're going to kind of slow down as it goes along. I think it's really going to be a fun team to watch.
Well, great. Phil Rogers, MLB.com, and I mean it, probably a future Hall of Famer. In his career, somewhere along the line here. Phil, John Lester, though, you look at the numbers of John Lester. Now, he pitched a lot better in his last start. What's up with John Lester?
Yeah, he did have a little, they called it at the time, a dead arm period at the end of spring training, and he was, held out of a couple of bullpens and one start, and he seems to have been behind when the season started. I think that's probably the biggest issue, and he's also changing teams for the first time. So, I think there's probably a lot going on. I think he was clearly, when the season started, he wasn't at his best because of, he had a less than ideal spring training. And I think he was really trying to make a great first impression on the Cub fans, and it all wound up being a bit too much. And he has been, his stuff just hasn't been that sharp. He hasn't been the cutter, at the bottom of the strike zone like you see him when he was dialed in.
Yeah.
He really hasn't had that. And then the interesting thing that's been exposed is the move to first base.
Yes.
That's going to bear watching the rest of the year as teams start to run on him. He went all of last year somehow without throwing to first base one time to hold a runner on. And when he did throw his second start, he made one throw to first routine, and then the next one he threw to the tarp. And, I think kind of exposed himself for not liking to go to first base, and he's going to put a lot of pressure on the catchers when he starts. He has to figure that out.
Well, the tarp maybe had a big lead. Maybe that was the problem. The tarp was moving.
It always is.
Okay. Phil Rogers with us, MLB.com. Let's go to the south side of Chicago. And, boy, what explosions this week. Suspensions all over the place. Phil, give us a little bit of the background of this Kansas City White Sox incident.
Yeah, you know, I think the Royals have had other issues with other clubs. You know, Yordano Ventura has made four starts, and in three of the four, there's been some extracurricular activity. And on opening day, he faced Jeff Samardzija in Kansas City. And right out of the chute, there were hitters getting hit with pitches. There have been the four completed games. They have to finish today a suspended game from Friday. So throwing that one out, in the four completed games in this series, there have been eight batters hit. And some of those have been rather dubious. And on opening day, Jeff Samardzija, another guy going to a new team, trying to make a big impression, had a bad spring. He gave up nine home runs in Arizona and was, you could say it's a veteran getting ready for the season, no big deal, but he's a really competitive guy, and he did not like giving up those home runs in spring training. And on opening day, he fell behind early. He wasn't very sharp. And Mike Moustakas hit a home run in about the fourth inning that I think took a 3-0 lead and made it 4-0. And the next pitch after the home run was right in Lorenzo Cain's ribcage. Mm-hmm. And apparently there was some jawing back and forth from Samardzija and the Royals going back to the wild card game last year. Mm-hmm. When Samardzija was with the A's. There's some talk about that came out this week after the fight. So there's some history there, and that's played into it. And then, Ventura, the other night when Adam Eaton came out of the box, Eaton's another guy. He's signed to a contract extension, expected, higher level of expectations, kind of like Ventura. Yordano Ventura last year was the number two guy to James Shields. So you could say, man, this guy's going to be great someday. He's going to be an ace someday. And then all of a sudden Shields leaves. And now that day comes, when he's still only 23 years old. And I think he's out over his skis a little bit, trying to handle the responsibility that comes with being an ace. And he's lost track of his emotions. And that happened. Eaton grounded out. He was going to be the last batter he faced. It was in the seventh inning. It was going to be the last inning that Ventura worked. And it was a routine grounder back to the mound. Mm-hmm. And I think Eaton yelled something going out of the box. And I think He's an emotional guy himself, and he's hitting one something and is frustrated about it. And I think he was yelling at himself, but Ventura heard the yell, stared him down, and here we went. It was Thursday night at the fights, and Samardzija, who hasn't had a terrific start, was leading the activity off the bench. Chris Sale, who had pitched that game against Ventura and was also going to be out of the game anyway after the seventh inning, got involved with Samardzija. Although really when I saw Sale, I saw more him trying to pull Samardzija away. But he did enough in the videotape to get himself a five-game suspension too. It could be a really good storyline over the course of the season, if the White Sox are able to play their way into the playoff picture. That's the bigger storyline. They made a lot of offseason additions, including Samardzija, designed to win. And they've kind of been off to a stumbling start. Nothing too drastic, but not what they would have wanted ideally. And the Royals, the Royals are a great team. And all this stuff really does get us talking about, takes away from looking at just, what we saw in the playoffs last year. That's the real deal. The maybe the best fielding team in baseball, maybe the most team speed in baseball, and a great approach at the plate where they don't strike out. They're trying to draw more walks. Historically, you know, they've the last 5 years they've been at the bottom in strikeouts, but also very low in walks. And Dale Swain, the hitting coach, is getting a little bit better approach out of them this year, and they're getting more walks and scoring more runs. And you know, they are built to last. And I actually picked them to go to the World Series, so it's not, they're not a surprise to me. They were one of the best teams I saw in spring training. And you know, if you go back to the middle of last year, they had the best record in the major leagues. I mean, they weren't really this warm, cuddly team that just got hot in spring training. They're a very good team.
Boy,
got hot in the playoffs.
Yeah, boy, I'd love to have Phil on with us, MLB.com. I always see you on TV with High Heat and the Rundown and all that. You do a great job there. You and I talked in Peoria. I remember we sat and had lunch and talked a lot about the issues we're talking about today. White Sox have underachieved, you're right, a little bit, especially getting out of the gate. But I wonder what the long-term effect of all this will be on Kansas City. Because now all of a sudden, you know, it's not the Royals, the little engine, you say the best record in baseball over the last year. But all of a sudden you get involved in these things, and now the national news is on you, even in Kansas City. I wonder what the effect of that's going to be on this team.
Yeah, there's a side of them that I think enjoys. I mean, you know, that game the other night with the brawl wound up going 13 innings, and the Royals won in the 13th the way they win. I mean, essentially, Gerard Dyson scored from first on a single. I think it was scored a double, but he was running on the pitch. It was a ball toward the right field line, and he came around and scored pretty easily. And it was the Roy, you know, and their bullpen shut down the White Sox, you know, their bullpen is one of the best we've ever seen, and it's at least as good this year. But the point is, they didn't win that game. And after the game, I mean, they didn't open the clubhouse doors as quick as the guidelines say they should. Mm-hmm. And they were in the clubhouse. You could hear them cheering and laughing. They were watching replays of the fight and different things that happened that they enjoyed. And it was, you know, there's a part of the competitive athletic side of these guys that enjoys some of the physical stuff. But, you know, I don't think Major League Baseball is going to have much patience for it. And you know, if you look at these suspensions that were handed down, they really don't hurt. You know, to suspend the starting pitcher is probably the biggest suspension of any of them. I mean, Kelvin Herrera, one of these relievers who's already suspended for throwing behind Brett Lawrie's head, right?
Yes.
Already has that. He was out on bond, essentially, because he appealed that suspension. And now he got two more in this one. I mean, suspensions to relievers hurt you. And Lorenzo King's going to miss two games unless he wins an appeal. And two games without your best player, that'll hurt you. But the suspensions to the starting pitchers, it's, you know, the quirk, you can manipulate those where essentially you just wind up giving a starter an extra day of rest. It's not like he actually has to miss a start. So even the White Sox both these teams have two starters suspended, Sale, Samardzija, and then Ventura and Edinson Volquez. But if you manipulate those the right way, I think both teams would only need a sixth starter. They would only need one start each from those other starters. So I don't know that on paper, I don't think that really hurts you. But, you know, it's not the reputation they want. And Eric Hosmer talked about that a little bit, that, you know, we're not this kind of team. We're not this kind of an organization. I mean, they're not looking to be the Oakland Raiders of baseball, and they kind of have been in April, but most of it is Yordano Ventura, who needs to cut it out, you know, and he has some good people, Sal Perez, a strong coaching staff. I think Ned Yost can get in his ear, and, you know, they need to get that under control, and that's going to be interesting to see, because you know how baseball teams are. You know, they're looking for every edge. And so when you look out there and Yordano Ventura, who can throw 99 miles an hour on the mound, but he also has rabbit ears and, you know, you can get in his head, they're going to be people in the dugout are going to be yelling stuff, and hitters are going to be trying to figure out what they can do to throw him off his game. And, you know, he's kind of made himself a target, where last year he was just this cool breeze kid from the island area in the Dominican Republic. I was stunned in the playoffs last year how nothing bothered him. And he's been anything but that guy this year. And I think it's the responsibility of being the number one starter. And he got a big contract extension. And, you know, it's you don't, when you sign those deals and or you get the status, you don't have to change. The team is saying, we're confident in you. You're our guy. But I think a lot of times the person feels like, oh, boy, I got to really be good now. I got to be different than I was before. And, you know, I think they have to get in Ventura's head and explain that they just want him to be the guy he was a year ago, the guy he's always been. He doesn't have to be anything different.
Wow. Hey, great report on a national story, Phil Rogers, MLB.com.